Whole Story Quest Audiobooks presents Fragile Chord by Emma Salisbury, narrated by Alistair Austin. Where does one go from a world of insanity? Somewhere on the other side of despair. T.S. Eliot. Prologue. Tracy Kavanagh stroked her swollen belly absent-mindedly as she reached for the drawing Kyle proudly held up for her inspection. It was 3:30 on an uncomfortably hot day, and the infant inside her shifted lethargically. The playground was full of red-faced mothers with excitable offspring, and the sound of happy chatter reverberated around the red brick walls. She swallowed hard as she studied Kyle's picture. Her hands began to shake uncontrollably as an uneasy, anxious feeling worked its way through her chest. She could hear her heart pounding, the thump, 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 increasing its crescendo until it drowned out the babble from the children around her and startled her unborn child. Her troubled gaze slid to the beaming face of her ruddy-cheeked son, and in that moment she knew she must kill him. Chapter 1. By the time the main exit doors of Hope Hospital's Accident and Emergency Department were in full view, Detective Sergeant Kevin Coupland had a cigarette clamped in his mouth, ready and waiting for the lighter that was winging its way towards it like an Exocet missile. He glanced sympathetically at the bored-looking receptionist, logging in details of the walking wounded, mouth downturned in disapproval, as she keyed in descriptions of injuries sustained whilst half-cut. She didn't bother to return his smile. Three more strides and he was out into the forecourt, the end of his cigarette glowing as he dragged on it hungrily, glad to be free of the smell of piss and disinfectant and unpleasant stains on the waiting room floor. Wild goose chase by the look of it, as far as he could see. Yet an army of plods were still caught up at the scene. Three rapid response vehicles had been dispersed to contain the braying mob locked inside the wine bar in Swinton. Several teenage girls had already been offloaded to Salford Precinct Station for questioning in relation to theft. Yet, it wasn't the theft that had required urgent police attention. It was the savage attack that had followed it, setting everyone's teeth on edge. Ricky Wilson, a self-employed builder and father of three, had been out with his family celebrating his wife's birthday when her handbag had gone missing from beneath their table, and a group of young girls standing nearby began to snigger. The rest of the details were hazy, opinions from Wilson's family, who had only really begun to pay attention when the atmosphere turned sour. But when he had challenged the girls, they had handed over his wife's bag quick enough, minus her purse. It was a clammy Sunday night in a town fractured by unemployment, and tempers frayed easily when thirsts were quenched with happy hour shots. Officers, unlucky enough to work the weekend shift, spent most of their time locking up drunks and breaking up fights. It was a tough 8 hours, but there was a predictability about it. When the call came through that a man had been seriously assaulted on Swinton Precinct, the officers responding thought at first it was a typical pissing contest, an altercation got out of hand. But all preconceived ideas flew from their minds when they rounded the corner that took them onto the pedestrianized square, saw that apart from the victim and his family, no one else was in sight. No drunken bystanders braying at each other in the aftermath of a fight. No over-made-up women shouting the odds at passers-by. No underage drinkers pausing to gawp as they cut across the square to the decent kebab shop up along the top road. Both taxi rank and bus stop remained empty. The only people to be seen were Ricky Wilson, slumped awkwardly on the hard stone flags, his wife leaning over him, stemming the flow of blood that leaked from his stomach with her jacket. Their children stood around them, motionless. Cars continued their journey along Chorley Road, their headlights illuminating the figures on the ground, but none of them slowed down. "Fucking great," the first officer on the scene had muttered to his colleague as they had approached Wilson. They'd been nearing the end of their shift, knew instinctively they'd be held up until the immediate area was secure.